Hello and welcome to Lewis Needus Law and the Lewis Needus podcast. I'm your host, Holly Sonnebend, and today we'll be talking to solicitor Sherry Fard. Sherry Fard is a litigator on the commercial and litigation team here at Lewis Needus Law. Sherry joined the firm in May of this year and specialises in general and property litigation. Sherry mainly focuses on commercial disputes and commercial property disputes. She has been a qualified solicitor for nearly 3 years, but has a total of 9 years' experience in the legal sector. Sherry has higher rights, which gives her the right of audience before any judge in the country. Furthermore, Sherry has a penchant for advocacy, as well as being a Farsi and French speaker. Today, Sherry will be talking about commercial property law and the elements that are commonly referred to the Lewis Needus team. Law that can lead to prolonged litigation between a commercial landlord and a commercial tenant, notably the Landlord and Tenant Act 1954. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So Sherry, how does the Landlord and Tenant Act apply?
The way it can be applied is where there is a lease which is either not contracted out, which I'll explain what that means shortly, or commonly the actual lease itself hasn't been drafted properly. Landlords and tenants can contract out of the Act by entering into an agreement before the lease is entered into, but this must be expressly entered into, and there must be an agreement on both sides, and then the agreement will be incorporated into the lease.
If the Landlord and Tenant Act 1954 applies, then what happens?
So if the legislation applies, a tenant will also have an automatic right to renew their current lease. Now, this, of course, is subject to any agreed terms and any rent reviews that take place or any other matters that need to be agreed upon. Unless one of the categories under Section 30 of the Act can be used by the landlord to oppose a renewal of the lease if the tenant has not carried out their repair and maintenance obligations under the lease. That's a way of a landlord actually just being able to oppose such an application. Another one is if there's been rent arrears throughout the whole term. So if there's a persistent delay in rental income, that's another reason. If there are other breaches under the current tenancy, for example, that's another reason why a tenancy shouldn't be granted. So they might, for example, be carrying out all illegal acts within the premises. And that's another example of a type of breach that could essentially be relied upon. The fourth one is if the landlord can provide alternative accommodation. The last three are slightly more in favour of the tenant. There's something called a reversion. So if there's a reversion of the lease, it means that there is going to be a termination of a lease above another lease. Now, if that's the case, and the lease is going to revert back to the original owner, because there can be layered numbers of people who own leases and assign them and things like that, but that's something separate, then that's a reason that the landlord can oppose a new tenancy. The last two are ones that are used very commonly and ones that always cause people to go into litigation. The first one is if the landlord intends to demolish or reconstruct the premises. And the last one is if the landlord wants to occupy the property himself or herself. So the last two, there is a lot of case law which revolving around the last two. There is a lot of arguments on how they're determined by the courts. One of the very important things is that if you're acting for a landlord, you have to demonstrate clear evidence. You have to demonstrate that there is they are actually intending to reconstruct the whole building, for example. They are actually intending to rebuild it, demolish it, knock it down, and start from scratch. There's been a lot of cases where landlords have carried out simple painting works and called that reconstruction, and the courts have said, no, that's not enough. It has to be quite substantial, and you have to provide evidence for that. In terms of the landlord occupying the premises, you have to demonstrate that you are going to use it for your own business, you're going to use it for your own reasons, and you have to demonstrate that it's going to be for a reasonable period of time. You can't just go in there as a landlord for 3 months and then just because you want your tenant out and say, oh, hang on, here you go, let's get someone else in. So those are the reasons that a landlord can rely on to oppose a new tenancy. Now, if a landlord wishes to rely on one of those tenancies, what he has to do is he has to serve a notice, and it's in accordance with Section 25 of the Act. Now, the notice has to be served within 12 to 6 months prior to the expiry date of the lease. And there has to be a minimum deadline given to the tenant of 6 months. And this is something that a lot of landlords who aren't familiar or don't believe this at apply would apply to them, it causes a lot of problems because it can cause delay. It means that, you know, it allows the tenants going to seek legal advice, see what they can do. We can just prolong the matter. So it's really important for a landlord to be aware of what their lease is and also how this legislation could apply or whether it does apply. Because I get a lot of clients who just do not know if it applies or not until they come to me and I say, yeah, actually, this isn't going to be as straightforward as you think it is. Unfortunately, going back to the list of oppositions, if the landlord cannot rely on any of these, he's going to find it difficult to not renew the lease. He's going to find it very, very difficult. If the tenant opposes what the landlord wants, so if the landlord wants the tenant to leave and the tenant says absolutely not, the tenant can make an application to the court within that 6-month period. If they do not make an application to the court, then they lose their right to make that application and the landlord can simply go for possession. If they do oppose it, an application is made to seek a renewal of the lease. But at the same time, a landlord can also make an application to the court to oppose the renewal. They'll have an opportunity to both, you know, to prepare their cases, prepare their defences, set out all their evidence. And you really have to have a clear understanding right at the beginning of why you have a right, why you believe you have a right to stay in the property, why you have a right for your tenant not to stay in the property. A lot of landlords tend to fall down on the evidence, the reasons. Now, once the application is made, the court sets directions, and then the first step is a case management conference, which is the first hearing. The hearing will allow a judge to narrow issues, set out directions, which are deadlines parties must meet. For example, for witness statements, which is evidence. For expert evidence, if it's allowed and required. Dates for hearings, things like that. Parties must actually meet these strict deadlines, because if they don't, it's just going to cost them more money. They'll end up having to make more applications, and what they would also have to demonstrate is they would have to seek permission to submit evidence. You have to provide evidence to show to the judge that it is reasonable for your evidence, your application, that you want to submit evidence, you want further evidence to be submitted, is reasonable as a whole in terms of the case timeline.
And how can a tenant receive compensation?
So going back to the last three oppositions which a landlord can rely on, so whether there's going to be a reversion to the superior landlord, whether there's going to be a reconstruction or demolition of the property, or whether the landlord intends to occupy, if a landlord wishes to rely on those three reasons, the landlord will have to pay. And if the tenant themselves want to leave, they will have to pay compensation. Compensation is based on a formula, yearly business rates that the company pays. Now, if the tenant has occupied the premises for a period of 14 years or more, then they are entitled to twice the compensation. That's, again, based on the same formula. Even if it's disputed, and let's say the matter goes to court and the landlord wins on his, you know, on those reasons, he will still have to pay the compensation if he's relying on those three reasons. Normally what happens, which has happened on a few occasions in my cases, is that we have negotiated a higher sum for compensation for our clients based on other factors, such as loss of goodwill, loss of business. You know, if our clients carried out recent repair works, loss for that.
Sherry, thank you so much for your time. Where can people contact you with potential inquiries?
You can telephone me on 0207 387 2032. You can find me on LinkedIn, which is Sherry Fard, or you can email me at sfard at lewisnedis.co.uk.
Fantastic. That's all from the Lewis Nedis podcast today. You can find us at Lewis Nedis Law on Twitter and at lewisnedis.co.uk. Thank you for listening.